The light revealed a heavy wooden door barring the way. The ants, however, marched straight on, under the space at the bottom of the door. Between them, they tugged on the tarnished brass ring handle. The door opened slowly, its iron hinges creaking rustily. This frightened the ants. They dispersed, breaking the continuous trail.
"Be still and quiet now. Give the little folk time to settle,"
Cornflower advised. They waited until the ants had forgotten the intrusion upon their line and continued progress. They were in a small cave-like room, full of forgotten barrels, tools, and old benches. The ants wove a tortuous path around crumbling and broken casks, firkins and butts, across the room to another passage, which was little more than an unpaved tunnel. With Baby Rollo still leading, they crouched and followed. The going began to get steep.
"This looks like some kind of disused working. Maybe a mistake in the digging plans of the foundations that was left abandoned,"
Cornflower remarked.
"Could be, missus,"
Formal called from the rear.
"I bain't been here afore. We were going uphill by my reckoning. I expect they aren't knows where they be bound, though."
Sometimes old roots got in their way, with often a boulder they had to climb over. Their heads scraping the earthy roof above, both Cornflower and Winifred began to wish for the sunny warmth of the afternoon above ground. Rollo was too excited to think of other things. He followed the line of ants eagerly. Formal, who is used to the dark underground places, followed stolidly in the rear. They finally emerged into what was neither a room, passage or cave. It was a low, dim area, supported by stone columns, with a wall blocking the way at the far end. The torchlight showed the ants were climbing in between the mortared spaces of the lower courses, until three layers up, they disappeared into a crack between two of the heavy red stone blocks. Winifred went to the place and held the torch up.
"Well, that's where they're going, but I'm afraid we'd have to be the same size as an ant to follow. Hello, what's this? Look!"
Rollo and Cornflower rubbed dust and dry earth away from the surface of a sandstone block until lettering was revealed.
"Aha! It's the very foundation stone of Redwall Abbey. Let's see what it says,"
Cornflower exclaimed. She urged Winifred to hold the light closer as she read aloud.
"Upon this stone rest all our hopes and efforts. Let Redwall Abbey stand forever as a home for the peaceful and a haven for woodlanders. In the spring of the late snowdrops, this stone was laid in its place by our champion, Martin the Warrior, and our founder, Abbess Germain. May our winters be short, the springtimes green, our summers long, and the autumns fruitful."
They stood in silence after Cornflower had read the beautiful inscription, the history and tradition of Redwall laying its kindly paw on each of them. Formal broke the silence with his mole logic.
"All right, you uns bide here a while. I'll go and fetch ye digging teams. This be a job for mole skills."
When he had gone, they sat gazing at the stone in the dwindling torchlight. It was Winifred who voiced their thoughts.
"What'll we find behind the wall, I wonder?"
The late afternoon sun shimmered and danced on the broad waters of a deep-flowing stream that ran through the rock-shell floor of the canyon between two hills. Gratefully, the chained captive drank their fill before lying down to rest on the sun-baked stone. Wedgeback the stoat sat nearby. He glared at them, pointing menacingly with his cane.
"Right, you lot, heads down. Get a bit of sleep while you can. And just let me hear one move or murmur from any of you. By the fang, I'll have your tails for tea."
As the stoat moved off, he slipped on a wet patch of rock. Jumping up quickly, he wagged the cane again.
"Remember what I said. Eyes closed, lie still, and no chain clanking, or you're for it."
Most of the other prisoners stretched out so they could be alone, but Matameo and his friends huddled close together. The young mouse lay with his head against Sam's tail, and as they rested, they whispered quietly among themselves.
"Wonder if old Ambrose Spike's down in his cellar having a snooze among the barrels."
"Aye. Do you remember that day we sneaked down there and drank the strawberry cordial out of his barrels with hollow reeds?"
"Do I? Good old Spike. Wish I had a beaker of that cordial right now."
"Or a big apple and cinnamon pie with fresh cream poured over it. Or maybe just some good fresh bread and cheese.
Orma gave the chain a slight tug.
Oh, go to sleep, you lot. You're making me hungry. Right now I wish I had a bowl of my father's mountain foothill stew, full of leeks and potatoes, with gravy and carrots and onions and...
Ha! We're making you hungry. I thought your father was a warrior. They aren't usually good at cooking.
No, but my father Orlando is, though he told me never to tell any creature in case they thought he was getting soft. But he always cooked wonderful things for me to eat. Suppose it was 'cause I never had a mother. Or at least I can't remember her.
There was silence as the young captives thought of their own parents.